how to fix this. One thing that's been suggested is a universal guaranteed basic income.
Yeah, I should just mention that there's quite a bit of controversy in the progressive community between UBI and job guarantee. And the important thing to say is it's not either or. We should be trying both. I'm very much a fan of a broad panoply of progressive programs. The Republicans love to say unintended consequences and da 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 da, and they're sort of right. I mean, you really never know how one particular thing's going to work. You got to try a whole lot of things, which is what FDR was brilliant at. He tried things. When they failed, he stopped doing them. He did other things. So UBI, I think. We have $100 trillion in household wealth in America. That's $750,000 for each household. And now I'm not saying it should all be divvied up, everybody gets $750,000. But there's just a vast amount of wealth that everybody could be sharing, and income as well. But much of it goes to owners for doing nothing. I think that should be shared commonly because it basically comes from our collective economy. I like to say the primary input to production is cooperation, is people working together. And there's no way you can say that person deserves this share of the cooperation money. And just two concrete examples I'll give of how that might work well. Alaska's permanent fund. It's called the Permanent Fund.
Based on oil revenues.
Right. And Norway's Sovereign Wealth Fund. In both cases, they've built large funds that invest in a wide range of assets, just like an individual prosperous person does. And then they deliver dividends to the populace. Each person gets a certain amount. You know, there are rules for whether kids get it. Do you have kids? There are different rules. And they're an incredibly reasonable, effective, and fair way to make sure everybody shares in the prosperity that we build together. It's not insane. It's just a straightforward thing. So let's say, I'm not saying everybody should get a universal basic income of $40,000 a year, every household, but how about $10,000, $5,000?
What safeguards would there be that someone just doesn't end up spending that on pure grain alcohol and living under a bridge?
Look, I'm a rich guy. I've been spending a great deal of my life hanging out with rich people. And you know what we do? We sit on beautiful decks and drink really nice alcohol.
So if people want to do that, it's okay, is what you're saying.
Basically we're saying, if you sit on this nice deck in this fancy house and drink really good wine, it's okay. But if you sit on the stoop of your apartment building and drink a beer, it's not.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. And job guarantees are... evoke memories of the Civilian Conservation Corps and the Works Progress Administration two New Deal projects that give us lasting legacies, such as if you walk in Queen Anne and you see the beautiful stairways that were built and all these other projects that were built by these two government agencies. Is that what you're talking about when you say guaranteed job guarantees?
That is what the job guarantee advocates are talking about, and I'm all for it. I want to see it ramped up slowly, as I would with UBI, to see how it works, because the way I've heard it described so far, I just don't really get the mechanics. The idea they're talking about is that nonprofits have their employees paid for by this job guarantee. So maybe you're a social entrepreneur, you have a nonprofit that...
let's say does literary arts and interviews, for example.
That'd be fine. Or that builds civic structures, like those stairways you're talking
right.
about. And what I haven't heard explained to me, to my satisfaction as a business owner and super sort of systems organizational guy, is who decides which... nonprofits have their employees paid, and who decides which employees at those nonprofits are paid? So I have a lot of sort of really practical questions about the job guarantee, but I think we should be trying it all over the place, right, and see how it works, see what the kinks are, and work it out. I did want to say one more thing about job guarantee. Oh, I really object to the idea, and this is something the conservatives rant on about all the time, the idea that we should be working more. Understand that in Europe, they have a standard of living about equivalent to ours. They live really well. And they work 6 weeks a year less than we do. I'm talking real. If you believe in family values, we should be trying to work less. In the 1930s, Keynes said that by now he expects us to be working 15-hour weeks. Instead of devoting our productivity to giving people more free time, time with their families, time doing things that they want to do, we have devoted this increased productivity to delivering heated Corinthian leather car seats and million-dollar Maseratis instead of delivering, for $1 million Maserati, you could deliver 40 $25,000 Toyotas.
Right.
So, one, we're devoting it to the wrong products because of the concentrated wealth distorts the production incentives that way. And two, we're devoting it to products instead of time. And time is the one thing that we all have a very limited amount of.
It's interesting how the millennials, by and large, are choosing to not buy cars, to use public transportation, to live in cities, and instead of buying things so much, buying experiences or traveling. So maybe that's a harbinger of coming things.
Maybe. Will they be willing to sacrifice income to spend time with their families? So, for instance, one of the father or mother, one of the parents stays home.
Right. And one other thing we haven't discussed about economic matters is the notion of worker-owned businesses. Mm-hmm. That's another thing you'd throw up there. Perhaps legislation that would benefit something like a worker-owned business.
I don't know much about that subject. And the reason is, and maybe this is stupid, because I've never seen much of it out there. It seems sort of small change. I tend to look for the sort of big opportunities. That's what interests me, for whether they're pie in the sky or maybe they are. But I'm always looking for the big things, like $100 trillion in wealth, as opposed to, I mean, for instance, United Airlines at one point went worker-owned and it didn't last long.
Right, right,
and that
right.
was one of the big ones. So I just haven't paid much attention to it, though I certainly see it as a strong possibility. Mm-hmm. I mean, currently, you know, corporations are very much C-suite owned. They have big ownership shares. And when I ran businesses, big ones, I gave a big ownership share to my employees just because I thought it was the right thing to do. And I thought we'd all do well by it.
But the notion of cooperatives. REI, yeah. For example, PCC. Mm-hmm. I mean, here in this city, in Seattle, you know, people have a choice to shop at the local Safeway, the local QFC, the PCC, or increasingly having their food delivered to them via Amazon/Whole Foods. Now, anyone who's a real progressive looks at Whole Foods, sees them as another corporation mm-hmm. who's trying to take wealth out of towns and bring it to their corporate headquarters, whereas PCC, for all its efforts at becoming more corporate, is still cooperatively owned and came out of this area and is connected more deeply to this area. So that's mm-hmm. one example, I think.
Yeah, that's true. REI, I think, is pretty much a big corporation.
Right.
I mean, I've been a member since forever, but that doesn't mean anything to me.
Right.
I still shop there just like I shop at any other store.
Are you optimistic that things get better in the near term or that we're going to see a crash?
I think, you know, we're long overdue for a financial, for a stock market decline. I would fully expect that to happen soon. There's a lot of indicators that, you know, Anybody that says they know when it's going to happen is lying to you. But certainly, I would, if it doesn't happen in the next few years, I'd be very surprised if it doesn't happen in the next few years. So that's a stock market decline, and that's what generally causes real economy declines. And this is a fairly simple explanation. All of a sudden, a whole lot of people look at their brokerage accounts and have less wealth. So they spend less. This is a behavioral economic assertion. When people have less money, they spend less. When they spend less, producers produce less, they hire less. Pretty straightforward. But yeah, these price meltdowns, when the price of... And we had a very interesting one in 2008, and that the real estate market was the first cause, but then the stock market went after it. That usually doesn't happen. Usually it's just the stock market that causes the recession. But every time real household net worth has declined over the last, since the 1960s, since basically the end of the Bretton Woods monetary agreement, since the early 70s, every time the real household net worth has declined, you are either in or about to be in a recession. So I see that as, you know, that basically they're not really business cycles, they're financial cycles. And the financial cycle causes the real economy recession.
To find out more about your work, we can go to Evonomics. And what other website would you put out there?
My personal website, which I blog, which I've been working on for about 15 years, haven't done much just lately, but there's a huge mass of my research and work. There is Asymptosis, A-S-Y-M-P-T-O-S-I-S, asymptosis.com. It's like an asymptotic approach, and the tagline is always approaching.
Thanks for your time today.
Thank you very much. It was fun talking to you.